Feel incredible!
It's not a cartoon! It's anime!
Yes! Welcome to another...
Oh, wow. You okay there, buddy? Hold on, we got buffering Keenan.
No, I'm on an episode. Of animation. Three quarters of the squad is here.
Oh my God, we've done it.
You know how happy I get when I have more of the squad here? I get happy, man. I'm happy, man.
It's always fuck Brennan energy when I'm here. What are you talking about?
No,
When is that ever said?
What?
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
See, if you were here, you would know that. Yeah. All right, good. We got
Rob.
Always great to have Rob here.
Thank you. Thank you, Keenan.
Are we gonna call him a special guest anymore?
We're sure. I mean, I don't know. We don't have to.
I mean, he's showing. He's going to be here in the whole podcast today. So
the whole thing.
You know, somewhat of a special guest. Brennan Edwards,
thank
he's
you.
Here. Give a round of applause for
welcome to the pod. So happy.
And this is the kind of shit make me not want to come back. Just in case y'all are wondering. Like, oh, he's here. Oh, look at him. Give him a piece of candy. Let's clap for him. All right, motherfuckers, turn the lights off.
No ho-ass, bitch-ass Ice up here. Yeah. No ho-ass Ice. You know, he's not here.
Hey, I love you too, Mike Hall.
you know, I mean, this is one of the greatest.
Do you do that when I'm not here?
Fucking anime
not
podcast.
Like he throws a little extra spice on there for you, I think.
In the entire world. I did it Friday, yeah.
It's true, he did.
Yeah,
I know.
He definitely did it.
Yeah.
You have an ugly spirit.
What does that even mean, man?
You take it as you will.
If you weren't on the Patreon, you don't know, but Brent was just like, I'm not an asshole before the show. And then he just told Keenan.
You have an ugly spirit for no reason.
No, what do you mean for no reason? Why did you just like, so what's that extra spice? That's not asshole shit, Rob?
I'm not
y'all
saying
say like he wasn't being an asshole and I responded to the asshole. All y'all see is my response? Fuck all y'all. I'm out.
Why do you hate the bait. Us calling ourselves the greatest looking
that's
anime
not annoying
podcast? When I'm doing it, it's not. When I'm doing it, it's hilarious. When Ice is doing it, I can't even say when Ice is doing it, it's annoying. It's like when he does it, when you're here.
I appreciate the enthusiasm.
Yo, yeah. Mike is here for the positivity today.
He is. I appreciate that.
Mike Hall, King Mike Hall with the positivity.
Thank you.
You ain't got to be nice to Keenan, though.
Jason Ranger, appreciate it.
Hey, thanks, Jason Ranger.
I'm a good guy. He's a good guy. Three quarters of the squad is here. Like I said, no hoe ass, bitch ass Ice. But you do know,
I'm the asshole.
Hey, you know,
that's what we do.
Here's the thing, hey guys,
he didn't say it.
Hey, watch this. Hey guys, watch this. Hey, watch this. I'm an asshole.
That's that.
I literally had this discussion with Clayton before. He's like, but what about you? Aren't you an asshole? I said, yes, I'm an asshole.
Yeah, call him that to his face.
Yeah, yeah, I did call him that to his face.
Clayton.
Yes,
I'm saying the word Clayton.
Yes, I've known him since that. So like, that's what I still call him.
He's talking about CT.
Yeah,
by
CT.
The way.
But gotcha. I really call him CT because I'm like some people still call me KJ. Right?
I've never heard that
because you didn't know me since then. Like when I first started stand up comedy, I came in as KJ Baker because I didn't want to use my real name for whatever fucking reason. So I mean, it's technically my real initials, but it's just like
I got you.
I didn't want to use Keenan, and then I feel like a year later I started to use Keenan. But the people that met me early, there's still like a handful of people that call me KJ still. I don't go, don't call me that. I just go, like, whatever you met me as, that's what you can call me. I don't care. You know, I don't want you to trip off that. You know what I'm saying? But doing that Patreon, patreon.com/animation. Let me tell you something. Give yourselves a round of applause, goddamn.
Yo, you guys.
Give yourselves.
A1.
A round of applause.
I told you, I believed.
This was
the month.
We needed three more patrons. That's all we needed.
Yo.
And
y'all did the shit.
Yeah.
You understand how happy you have made me?
Yes.
Like, that's why you get a full episode of Brennan today.
Yes. 102 Patreon subscribers. That means y'all went over to what we needed. We appreciate y'all. This is why we love y'all. Y'all did it. And now Rob is on the fucking line.
He's going to it. So what's going to happen?
To
Rob,
it.
I want to hear Rob. Rob, you explain to the people what's about to happen, please.
I mean, it's not that complex. I'm going
to
go to
I want you to give it. No. Give me the Rob explanation. Give me the Rob recap.
Okay. I'm going to go to a black barber shop and I'm going to get a haircut.
He's getting a taper, y'all.
Okay.
He's getting a taper. It's going to be hilarious.
I don't even know what I'm asking for. I'm going to let you guys just like
look up.
Order me whatever.
Order me? Hold on, give me
the works.
Let me see something real quick.
You're such a good sport for this. But also, honestly, I really think it's going to look good. It's going to be funny, but also it's going to be like, you know, motherfuckers going to like, Andrew, look, your wife is going to have to be like, step off this man. He's mine.
Okay, we'll see.
White guy with taper fade. Now, some of these are a little high. That's not a taper fade.
One.
Which one? This one?
Yeah.
That might be kind of high for Rob. I figured something like this is a little bit lower.
We'll figure it out.
It's going to be a taper fade that Rob's going to get, and we're going to get him to make sure he gets a razor edge lineup on the beard, connect the beard.
Yep.
And the haircut, if you know what that looks like, that's going to look fucking fine.
I can't wait until they do the alcohol rub thing. Oh, like...
right there.
Oh my God.
If Rob looks like this right here.
No, we're not doing that.
If Rob looks like that.
If I look like that, I'm going to be a little upset.
No, we're not doing that.
I don't know if you can see that.
I won't allow that.
I'm gonna look a little. I'm gonna be a little upset.
That's too much.
Why? What, Rob? I mean, Rob looking like that.
You gotta get
Rob an earring too.
This is a celebration.
Yeah, of course.
This guy got the number 3 on his head.
It is number 3.
Yeah. Nah, we're good on
anyway.
That. But yeah, man, guess what we done did?
Yeah. So we
Vox Machina.
Yeah. So we hit those 100 subscribers. Make sure you keep subscribing though on Patreon. We appreciate y'all.
Yeah, we'll come up with something for 150, 200, something like that.
Something. But, yeah, yeah. I think
Keenan should get a tattoo of animation if we get to 150.
Tattoo?
Something permanent?
Permanent?
What are you talking about?
We will go from a haircut to
we'll come up some stuff, man. I thought we
all
just...
right, well, we'll brainstorm.
Yeah.
Make a list.
Like, I'm not getting something permanent.
Get a henna tattoo.
I'll do a henna tattoo.
Henna tattoo, sure.
Okay, but... he said it. Tramp stamp, henna tattoo, done.
Whoa, I did not say that.
Keenan is in, baby. Let's go.
Brennan out here, yes anding.
No, let me tell you something. We only take suggestions from special guests. We don't say what they do is
call me special guest one more time, Keenan. It's about to get so fucking bad in here. Call me that shit one more time. I will personally tank the rest of this podcast.
Let me tell you something. Brittany has came in here. He has slammed my laptop down. He's throwing my phone on the floor mid-podcast. And he's sitting here calling himself not an asshole, right? He's sitting here and complains about shit. Oh, why are you saying these things about me?
I don't think I've slammed your laptop, but the rest of it, I
not slammed it like on the table, but you slammed my laptop shut before.
I've never slammed your laptop. I've gently closed it.
Okay.
All right. All right, buddy.
You have a better laptop than me. I'm not going to hurt that thing.
Yeah, it is what it is. All right. so we do got something we got to get over before we get to that first. We do have, we're going to do Vox Machina episodes 9 through 12. But before that, we got a weekly poll, and we always do. What you got for us, Rob, for this poll?
This week on our poll, we had One Has to Go. We took four of the most popular anime right now that are coming out right now and said, which one are you getting rid of? The choices were Attack on Titan, My Hero Academia, Jujutsu Kaisen, and Demon Slayer.
Easy.
I already know what you're going to say.
I'll say it here. Let me just go through. Here were the results. I was a little surprised by it.
You want me to say what I would say?
We'll get there. Attack on Titan, nearly half the votes. People are taking out Attack on Titan. 47%.
Fuck that show.
Shit.
Sorry, we'll get there. My bad.
My Hero Academia got a third of the votes, 33%. And then Jujutsu Kaisen was pretty safe at 16%. And Demon Slayer had only 5%. So, a lot of people keeping Demon Slayer around. Demon Slayer, very safe, unlike the characters on the show.
I don't know how many times I'm going to say this, but I'm going to keep saying this. I called out that Demon Slayer might end up being the GOAT from episode number 2.
Here's the thing, man. Until you read the manga.
You disagree.
Because I read the manga. The reason why I think it's going to be one of the greatest of all
time. You know what's
going
to happen.
I know what happens.
You know what happens.
But yeah. you didn't see the greatness in season 1 though. You didn't see
you didn't see the greatness in season 1. We all watched season 1 together.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying.
We said it was good.
I see the remnant. I was like the way they're building this and like the world building on this.
You got out the gate. You jumped out the window like episode 1 or 2.
Yeah, but I'm just saying like how many anime have I seen?
You seen a lot.
And how many times have I said that?
A few times.
A few times.
You said that.
And how many times was I wrong?
A couple of times.
Which ones?
You said the same thing about Dr. Stone and Fire Force, I'm pretty
sure.
No,
I did not say that about Dr. Stone or Fire Force, to be fully honest. I said, I don't know. These might be great. I'm going to keep watching this. It was different. No. Rewind the fucking tape. Okay. Y'all... audience, I want you guys.
Let me tell you something. I hate this rewind tape. We got over 200 episodes.
I don't have time. Somebody has time to go over this shit, bro.
But the thing is, maybe our supporters might, because we know one of our supporters went through and tallied.
Anarchist
is a fucking monster. Went through and tallied up who was in what episode and like a bunch of other stuff. So Anarchist or whoever else, if you can pull the tape and see what I said about Fire Force.
You don't always say it on video. Sometimes you say it to us.
My point being, though, look. But my point being is, like, I distinctly remember that's the only time I've had that feeling about a show where I was that definite.
You said it,
like,
about My Hero.
This is the greatest show
you said about My
ever.
Hero.
I was like, this is going to be. I think this might be the greatest. Whereas My Hero Academia is like, this is going to be incredible for this generation, and the other ones, Fire Force and Dr. Stone. I was like, these have mad potential. I don't know what's going to happen with them.
I feel like you definitely.
Y'all
said
just going to go against me no matter what.
I feel like definitely you said it about My Hero, and that was your convincing argument to one of your biggest convincing arguments to get me to watch the show. Because I was like, I don't really care to see it. And then you got on me, and then you pulled up the All Might fight scene when he fought the Nobu. But then you were just like, this is going to be one of the best. And I'm telling
you. I stand
you.
By it. Yeah. Yeah. It still is. My Hero Academia is going to, for me, is going to end up in the top five. Yeah. Easy. I'm standing by it.
Top five.
I think so.
Maybe. Yeah.
I mean, some of the stuff that I've seen in the manga.
Is it over?
Some crucial shit just happened. That's all I can say. All
right, let's keep it at that.
It's not over yet.
No spoilers at this point.
I wonder when All Might's gonna die.
Don't say anything.
I haven't seen anything. Don't you say anything. I'm just saying, it's just like, I've been waiting for that motherfucker to die for a while.
That's true.
Everybody knows All Might's gonna die.
He's been on death row.
And it's gonna be terrible.
He's been on death row for a while. So anyway, getting back into the discussion. So Brennan, you're taking out of these choices. You're taking out Attack on Titan. That's your choice.
Man, you know my feelings about Attack on Titan.
I do.
They fuck with my emotions, man.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know, like, their naming conventions, like, the amount of seasons that they have when they say this is the final season.
Final season,
you can't
three.
Have part one, part two, part three of the fucking final season.
Yeah, it's a little egregious.
I mean,
if you don't have the money to finish up everything on time, you might have to do it.
Then
that
don't
way.
Fucking call it the final season when you let it out. You can change the name. It's literally one fucking animation. That's all it is. The title sequence.
Well,
change the wording. It's the tight font. Change it.
They might have went into it like, yo, this is the final season.
They were
right?
ambitious.
They and knew better.
Like, and then it was just like, yo, just like, you know, you don't have enough money to finish animating this shit. You're like, we don't? Yeah, it's going to cost you
no,
like another
there's no way
10 million.
Fucking, the thing is, there's no way they could have missed it by that much of a mark. They had enough money for one season when there was three. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, we have.
I think it's definitely a marketing ploy to get as many viewers
Thank
as
you.
Possible.
And that, for me, betrayed my trust. My feelings were hurt.
Fair.
Fuck them.
Fair enough.
Keenan, who are you taking off this board?
Man.
Out of this list of four, who are you eliminating?
If you say Demon
from
Slayer,
the annals of
I'm
history.
Literally walking out.
No. Well, here's the thing. Like, Demon Slayer and Jujutsu are two of my favorite shows to watch right now. So those,
they're so good.
I 100% get why those got the least
they're
amount
so
of votes.
Good.
It makes sense.
They're so good.
Yeah. I get why these two got the most votes. And man, it's hard. I feel like Attack on Titan and My Hero are neck and neck to me. I feel like, you know, I definitely go back more to Attack on Titan, like, to watch some fight scenes and some episodes that are just like, yo, this is crazy. This show has a lot of stakes. You know what I'm saying? I think when it's said and done, maybe My Hero can be that. Can top Attack on Titan. But right now, I would have to say Attack on Titan gives me more of that. Just that, I don't know, just that danger of, like, something can really happen to somebody and people have got to go, and just the stakes of the whole world being like, you know, I'm 100% tuned in right now. And I'm 100% caught up to Attack on Titan. I'm not 100% caught up on My Hero Academia, so I got to give that the slight edge of what I would have to go is My Hero Academia.
Wow, all right.
Yeah, and then maybe when I finish this season that just passed,
the season that just passed was like one of it's a full season of setup, but I can't.
You said it closed really well.
I thought it closed.
No, it
very
did.
Strong.
It closed very strong.
Yeah,
that's the thing. Is like, now it's just like, we know the next season is going to be all the smoke.
It's going to be crazy.
It's going to be fucking crazy.
And it's looking. People keep saying it's going to be more seasons, but it's just like, it's looking like the way the manga is going. If the way you guys are saying it, the manga's kind of talking about the shit that's pretty much being set up.
Oh, I see.
Right.
Gotcha.
So, like, yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's going the fuck down. But what do you got, Rob?
I'm taking Attack on Titan out of here. And it's tough because, like, you know, I've had my love-hate relationship with Attack on Titan. It's been documented on this podcast. I've been up and down. I think it's definitely a show that will be cool to rewatch, like, when you know everything that's going to happen. Mm. That being said, like, all these other shows, like, I'm out here telling people, like, you got to check out Demon Slayer. You got to check out Jujutsu Kaisen.
Same, yep.
Even, like, there are just so many hype moments on My Hero that I'm like, man, that was super cool. And, like,
bro.
There's some big
Levi,
moments on Attack on Titan.
Levi versus the Beast Titan. That's my shit.
Two times. And then you got Levi versus the female Titan. got Levi. Damn near every Levi moment.
Yeah, but it's like the thing about. Go ahead.
But at the end of the day, like Attack on Titan, like I just don't get the same sense of like empowerment from. You know what I mean? Mm. Those are the shows I'm like, oh, that would be cool to like be in that moment. There's not a single moment on Attack on Titan that I want to be a part of.
I fully agree with that.
And at the end of like a lot of episodes, I'm just sitting there like I feel like garbage.
Yeah.
Because they just like took my soul out of my body. Yeah. And I don't feel good about this. Like even looking at it now, I'm like, I don't know who I'm rooting for anymore.
Well, the thing is, that's actually, that's a really real experience that I had as well. Like we're watching Attack on Titan. I remember after the episode, like you don't feel good.
No.
You know what I'm saying? Like watching My Hero Academia, Jujutsu Kaisen, you know, Demon Slayer, you feel good after the episode. Like these shows are meant to show you the strength of like the human heart and capacity for a protagonist to overcome adversity. That's what those three shows do. Yeah. Attack on Titan is just like, man, fuck everything.
Ugliness of humanity.
At the end of the day, there's not really many stakes to My Hero Academia in that sense. So when you watch My Hero, it's just kind of like when it's over, you kind of say, all right, it's over. Cool, I can go on about my day. The fact that Attack on Titan kind of can get you depressed shows you that is pulling your heartstrings.
Yeah, but
discount that. It's still like, listen, this is like, it's
all four of these shows are excellent.
Exactly. Like, I think they're all good shows. I'm not saying Attack on Titan.
This is a hard-ass poll. I mean, besides the bottom two, I thought the bottom two are the two hottest. But, I mean, I feel like these are still four strong-ass shows. It's like, fuck, man.
Yeah.
These are the leaders of this generation of anime.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Like, the top four shows right now, which one got to go? It's just like, well,
got to be a hard choice.
Well, for me, the easiest part for this is just like, there's an entire season of Attack on Titan that didn't make any fucking sense.
Yeah.
Until you watch two seasons out later.
Yes.
And so for me, that argument alone takes it, like, makes it so, like, there's never anything like that on My Hero Academia.
It's still kind of funny.
No, I agree with most people. I agree with the poll that, like, for me, when you look at it, Jujutsu Kaisen, Demon Slayer, immediately safe. You got to look at My Hero and
what were the comments saying about it?
I mean, a lot of people said they chose quick.
All
right. Early on, like it was pretty strong anti Attack on Titan, to be honest with you. And then My Hero picked up steam as the poll went on. A lot of people were just like, it was Keith actually was just like, I know we're trying to get Rob this cut, but if you said Demon Slayer, you got to get out of here. So
yeah, I mean, I agree. I want to know who voted Demon Slayer. That's fucking wild.
I'd say, you know, for some people, and I know there was somebody that was like, I'm voting for Jujutsu Kaisen only because it's of these shows I haven't seen it. And everybody was just like, watch it.
Yeah.
Pretty much. So, you know, somebody else said Denzel Moten was just like, if you picked AOT, I hope the rumbling hits your neighborhood, which is
damn
hilarious.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Shout out to him.
Jesus. Great. I love that.
The rumbling is no joke.
No, at all. Not at all.
But the thing is, like, it's crazy to me, like, just to scale. This is just, I know, a random nerd thought.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, the scaling of different animes, you know, it's just like, we watching it, it's like the rumbling. Like, oh, fuck, this is crazy. Like, man, I think Krillin could probably handle the rumbling by himself.
Power, I mean, you let Krillin just get a Destructo disc, he's going to probably slice through like 60-70% of the Titans with that.
But the thing is, I don't think that those Titans could hurt him, is my point.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Unless they have a strong kick.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I think Krillin could possibly get grabbed by, I think when it comes to like the big dog, the armored Titan, he's going to have a problem with.
I don't think so. I think he's gonna be like Kame.
I don't think that's over. I don't think so. You think Vegeta, Ozoro Vegeta, could beat the armored Titan? Not Super Saiyan Golden.
The original Vegeta that we saw.
Absolutely not.
Well, it's okay, you say that. Could the original armored Titan destroy the planet?
No.
That's what I'm saying. Vegeta flew up in the air and said, if you don't dodge this, this planet is over and destroyed. And he did Gatling Gun.
Ozoro. I'm talking about Ozoro.
I don't know what
monkey.
Ozoro means.
Yes, it's the huge monkey.
Oh, it's even more powerful. Yeah.
No, the monkey titan. I mean, not the monkey titan. I'm sorry. The monkey version of Vegeta is strong, but I don't think that's beating the armor.
It's stronger
titan.
Than the base form of Goku Vegeta I was just talking about. I think he can literally fire a beam that destroys a city from its mouth. Goku did that when he was a baby. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, these titans.
I hear you. I think it's, and that's what, that kind of gets back to what I was even saying at one point. Like, I don't want to be a titan. Like, nothing about titans seem cool to me.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, like, I was like, man, it'd be cool to be a titan. They're like, yeah, your life gets shortened. I'm like,
yeah, it's awful.
Fuck, man.
There's not one bit of
there's
the titan
nothing,
deal that's cool.
The only thing that, I have the random, can we do one random nerdy question?
Sure.
If you had to pick one of the titans to be, which one would it be?
I think we kind of talked about this before.
We might have.
That's the easy choice, obviously.
Would you say?
It can't be the founder one, the one that can just
come. Oh, it would have to be a Titan that I would want to be?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean,
I might go with Warhammer Titan.
That's the one I'll pick, too.
Yeah. Warhammer Titan's fire. I would go with Armor Titan. because I think
that's a good one. That's a good
because Armored Titan, I feel like is first of all, I feel like it's still cognizant, has hands, and then.
But I think the Warhammer Titan would probably take out the Armored Titan.
I think it all depends. If the Armored Titan can figure out where the fuck the Warhammer
Titan
thing is,
that's what I'm saying.
Is,
I wouldn't have figured. If I was the Armored Titan, I'd be like, what the fuck? I beat this thing 8 times. What is happening?
Yeah.
I probably wouldn't have figured it out. I'd be like, I'm screwed.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love those two are my favorite. I think we talked about it before when we talked about the show. It was like, those two are my favorite Titans.
Yeah, I don't want to be the Colossal Titan. Colossal Titan's the worst, probably, in my opinion.
I think the Colossal Titan has one of the greatest entrances in any anime show in history.
That's about it.
Every time the Colossal Titan comes out, it's an explosion.
Yeah. Right?
Yep.
It's like, what kind of explosion would you say that is? Like, it's like a
volcanic type of thing?
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. It's like, it's not an atomic bomb. You know what I'm
saying? No, I mean, it's like, it's almost like a volcanic eruption. Yeah. It's like steam and heat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, look at trash. But so that's the polls, man. And so episodes 9-12, Vox Machina, finishing up the show.
Yes,
Rob's
sir.
Recap.
We'll get into the recap. We start with the flashback, seeing that Lord Briarwood was dying of sickness, and so his wife, Lady Briarwood, searched for a cure and eventually found an old magic book filled with spells, and she used blood magic within it to strike a deal with an evil being called the Whispered One that spared her husband's life by turning him into a vampire, and the two have been helping the Whispered One ever since. Back in the present, in the streets of Whitestone, they are flooded with zombies, and Vox Machina is trying to not get overrun, especially Vax, who Keyleth saves from being eaten. They run into a resistance safe house, and Archie asks Percy, hey, what are we going to do next? But Percy is reluctant to lead and just says, you know, hey, Archie, you are still in charge. Unfortunately, safe house isn't safe very long. The zombies barge through the walls and floor, and Scanlan winds up with a nasty bite on his arm that could make it rot off in a short time. They manage to escape to the roof, and there Cassandra also tells her brother, hey, you know, we need you to be the one to inspire the people of Whitestone, who are starting to wonder if all this violence is even worth it. So they escape to the streets, and when an undead giant approaches, Percy shows off a new sniper rifle design that he's been tinkering with that kills the thing in one shot. Unfortunately, it's just a prototype that can only fire once. So when the scarred Vedmeyer reappears with two more giants with him, they are forced to run again. Archie again encourages Percy, hey, you got to lead your people. You know, we need your help right now. We need you to give an inspiring speech. But he has to step away to help Scanlan against the vengeful Vedmeyer. And after a short clash, Vedmeyer swings his sword and cuts Archie clean in half as Percy looks on horrified. Needing a tactical retreat, Keyleth digs deep and forms an ice wall, Todoroki style, gives them time to regroup. The survivors gather under the husk of the sun tree, and Percy delivers that inspiring speech in memory of Archie and his family, and the villagers in Vox Machina cheer, ready to fight to the death as the zombies break through the ice wall. When things start to look bleak, Vax confesses his love to Keyleth, but she can't believe that he chose to wait to that moment when there's nothing they could do about it to tell her. It looks like it is over for all of them until a beam of light appears in the sky, and it's Pike projecting her image from the temple, all leveled up and with new holy powers.
I immediately thought of Goku Ultra and saying,
oh, for sure.
Yeah.
She lays waste to the undead horde and heals Scanlan's zombie bite and turns the tide. The group, with reinforcements from Lady Yen and buffs from Pike, defeat the zombies. And when Vedmeyer tries to run, Percy puts a bullet in his leg and tells the people, do what you want with him, and they rip him to pieces.
Oh, I loved it.
The city itself is free, but Vox Machina goes to chase down the Briarwoods and Percy's family castle. But when they sneak into the dungeon, they find a surprise prisoner down there who offers to help them. But before Vax can free her, Percy nearly puts a bullet in her head, revealing that she is Dr. Ripley, another one of his family's betrayers, and someone who personally tortured him. He fires the gun, but Cassandra pushes it out of the way, saving Ripley, and she says, and she and everybody else are kind of like, hey, calm down. Revenge is fine, but this person actually might have some info in the Briarwoods that could help us. Clearly, you know, the enemy of my enemy is my friend sort of thing. And reluctantly, Percy agrees. And once again, they have to have a conversation with him about the darkness and his obsession with revenge and all that. And Pike tries to get a read on him with her new holy powers, figure out what's going on, and it turns out some powerful darkness and some powerful dark forces surrounding him. And they're all, you know, scared and are just like, hey, we got to figure this out right now. And he's just like, there's no time. We're here. We can't turn back. I promise on the lives of my family, I will figure this out when our mission is done. They finish busting Ripley out of her cell and question her. She tells him that she had, you know, never really super loyal to the Briarwoods. They just paid super well and allowed her to do her work, so she helped them build their ziggurat to contact their god. However, things started to get out of hand, so Ripley wanted to leave, but they threw her in prison instead. With a common enemy now, she does agree to lead them to the Briarwoods and their ziggurat. The group continues on, and Ripley tries to show, hey, you know, I'm not so bad after all, but Percy is not hearing any of it, even after she helps them kill more zombies of, you know, Percy's ancestors, and he even refuses to let her carry a sword. They continue down to find a chamber where the refined white stones and Andra's work are being held, but before they can figure out what the hell is going on, Cassandra's name appears on Percy's gun and she moves away from the group. She flips a switch and Vax runs to her, but everybody else is trapped inside. Soon the Briarwoods appear, and though Vax goes to attack, they use vampire powers to mind control him, and appears that's what they've done to Cassandra as well, perhaps from the beginning. And the Briar would say that, hey, Vax and Cassandra are part of our family now. Vox Machina can only basically look on as Vax hits a switch, triggering a trap, and the room starts to fill with acid as their enemies leave them to go finish their goals. Unable to break the doors or the acid spout, the group tries to hover above the raising acid on Scanlan's floating hand. Percy is inconsolable at first by the betrayal of his sister, but Vex slaps him out of it and says that, you know what, without your help, we're all going to die. He determines where the off switches are, and he, Ripley, pull two of them while Grog dives into the acid and pulls the third with constant healing from Pike to keep him from dying. The acid drains and they chase after the Briarwoods, who are considering which of their new children they will sacrifice for their ritual. As they arrive, Scanlan realizes the journal that they stole is more of an instruction manual on how to summon the Whispered One, and Pike recognizes the name and says, hey, that's an undead force that wants to cross into our plane and could end the world as we know it. They get ready to head up to stop them when Ripley says, hey, I'm not being paid for all this. I'm not really into this, and honestly, I'd rather get out of here. The dark force within Percy starts to buck, unwilling to let her leave alive, but they don't want to shoot her and give away the position, and Percy tries to fight against his inner darkness, but the only real way he can sate it is by charging after the Briarwoods instead, as Ripley runs off, surely to cause trouble for them later on. As they charge up together, Lady Briarwood quickly knocks Grog out of the fight with a spell. Vex, meanwhile, tries to wrangle Vax and talk sense into her brother while she is, you know, hopefully not forced to kill him. Percy looks on, looks to kill Lord Briarwood, but the mind-controlled Cassandra gets in his way, and it's all he can do to stop the darkness from within him from killing his own sister. But, you know, Keyleth goes after the vampire lord instead, but is also soon punched aside. Pike then looks to take on the vampire next while Scanlan prepares to help her, but he gets hit with a silence spell, stopping his musical magic. Pike holds up pretty well on her own, actually, against the vampire, you know, even burning him with some holy flames. However, she's forced to break off her attack to save Scanlan from Lady Briarwood instead. Freed from the fight, Lord Briarwood helps Cassandra, slashing Percy with his sword. Seeing her brother's blood is enough to shake her out of the vampire's mind control. Elsewhere, Keyleth starts to recover and ask the roots of the sun tree around the ziggurat to help her, and they basically allow her to create this mini sun spirit bomb, the light of which also helps break Vax's mind control, much to Vex's relief. And the light even makes Lady Briarwood stumble, and it's enough for enough of a pause to let Pike get a holy Kamehameha wave out there, and Scanlan hits her with a silence spell of his own. Grog also wakes up and looks for a rematch against Lord Briarwood, and after getting cut up a bit and having to resist the mind control, he closes his eyes, goes into blind fighting mode, and lands a huge hit on the vampire. And while Lord Briarwood is stunned, he grabs him from behind and holds him as Keyleth increases the power of her mini sun and burns the vampire away, kicking and screaming. As Pike heals them all from their fight, Lady Briarwood screams and runs up to the top of the tower to finish her what she started. Vox Machina charges in to stop her, and she fires off all her spells to hold them off, including one headed for Vex that Keyleth takes instead, knocking her to the ground. The ritual finishes, and though the Whispered One briefly appears, all that is left is actually a spinning black orb that seems to cancel out all magic. Lady Briarwood screams in disappointment, but Percy puts a couple bullets in her back. Unfortunately, though, the anti-magic field means Pike's projection spell ends, and they are unable to heal the dying Keyleth. Percy, obsessed with revenge, is happy to have Lady Briarwood, but the rest of the group wants to rush out so they can try to heal their friend. On their way out, Grog sees Lord Briarwood's magic sword and takes it for himself. Outside the anti-magic field, they realize they are out of potions, but Keyleth still has her healing supplies on her. Remembering how she treated Cassandra, Vax asks for Scanlan's magic to help him heal her, and luckily it seems to work, but slowly. As she heals, Percy looks to finish off the Lady Briarwood. They can see that he has been fully consumed by some sort of vengeful demon that may become more powerful by getting what it wants. So they try to stop him, but Percy, and Percy actually does try to stop himself, but the evil within him is too strong, and it starts to fight. Starts to make him fight against his friends. As the demon tricks Percy into with hallucinations from his past, he shoots wildly at them, and they try to do their best not to hit him back. In his hallucinations, the demon says, "You know, hey, we made an unspoken contract. You know, I helped you create this gun, gave you the powers you needed to achieve your revenge. Like, what more do you want?" Cassandra and Vex try to talk real sense into him, and Percy fires back that at the demon to no effect, and it coaches him ever towards the Lady Briarwood, but Percy gets enough control to shoot himself in the hand, causing him to drop the gun and breaking the demon's control. Percy returns to his senses, and Lady Briarwood immediately starts talking shit about how he didn't even have the guts to kill her. Cassandra stands up for her brother and says that, well, hey, my brother might have forgiven you, but I haven't, and puts a sword right through her neck and rips it out.
Damn near cuts her head off, right?
Damn near. Turns into a Pez dispenser, essentially.
That is sibling love right there.
Oh, yeah. Turn into a Pez dispenser, bro?
Just about.
That visual.
Yeah, that connection from the back. Yeah. They toss the body and the cursed gun into the acid pits, destroying both once and for all, and return to the surface. Above ground, Percy says that, I'm not the right one to lead these people, Cassandra. You're the one that they need. She's skeptical at first, but agrees after he hypes her up to do it. Keyleth, meanwhile, gives Vax the old, you know, it's not you, it's me speech. You know, I don't really think things are going to really work out for us. You know, we both got a lot of responsibilities, which is a shame because it seems like Vex has finally come around to liking her. And they tell Yennen about the black orb remaining beneath. And she says, hey, we sent some holy men to investigate, but we cut away to see their studies just as one of them gets fully ripped apart and absorbed by the dark sphere.
Man.
Seems like bad news. They work their work there finished. They decide to return to Iman to face the king there. And Keyleth uses druid magic to fast travel them back through the Sun Tree. And we catch up with the group sometime later as they are reunited with Pike and fixing up their old HQ in Iman. Percy has even made himself a glove that covers his wounded hand, and he works on building a new uncursed gun to use. Soon, though, they are summoned to the castle, and the king there holds a huge audience. He thanks Vox Machina for saving the realm for a second time and says, hey, me alone as a leader, I'm fallible. You know, I can't be trusted. I'm weak on my own. I relinquish the crown. I give leadership over to the council and democracy. And it's a big celebration until Vex experiences one of her dragon headaches. The group turns and looks in horror towards the sunset as a shadow of four evil dragons fly towards the castle looking to avenge their fallen comrade, the Blue Dragon. And that's where season one of The Legend of Vox Machina finishes off.
Hey, thank you, Rob. I don't know why I put these questions on here twice.
Yeah, man. Double up. Rob, your recaps go hard, bro.
I'm trying, man.
Yeah, man.
Doing my best. Appreciate it.
So, Gary, did you get all that? You understand what happened?
I didn't hear if the bear came back.
He didn't.
No, the bear. They showed a bear at the end.
Okay.
They showed. Because you saw.
Not in any meaningful way.
So yeah, I guess right before you know the dragons are starting to come to the castle. You see, like, when they're having their whole, you know, everybody's like, you know, he's doing his gun, and the brother and sister together shows her, like, kind of, like, cuddling the bear or whatever the case may be.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
It's
all
like
that.
It's like
if they bring
shot.
The bear back just to die by dragonfire, I'm going to be pretty mad.
That'd be pretty funny.
I mean, the bear was fucking useless for 12 episodes.
He was cool in the beginning. Just give the bear a chance.
I want to see it, too.
Give the bear a chance.
I the bear would have been dope. It's a bear.
I have a lot of respect for bears at this point in my life.
As you should. All right, man. So, yeah, thank you for the recap. Let's get into the question portion of the show. All right, pretty much this is pretty much like a zombie apocalypse. The dead was coming through and it was fucking shit up. Mm-hmm. And I ain't gonna lie to you, at first I was just like, man, they look kind of weak, but then it was having some moments where I was just like, nah, they're probably a lot stronger than we think they are.
Scanlan even has that line, or Vax, I think, is just like, I thought they were supposed to be slow. Like,
yeah.
What is this?
Yeah, what's happening? so out of the squad, who do you think would die first in a zombie apocalypse?
Out of the four of us?
Out of the four of us. Who do you think?
I feel like everybody's going to vote for me.
Well, you want to go first, Brennan?
Go ahead.
No, I got it. You go ahead.
You know what? Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, Ron. What do you think?
I actually wouldn't pick Brennan. I don't think it would be Brennan. I think it would probably be me, to be honest with you. I think it would probably be me. Because I'm not even by, like, zombie bite. I'd be like, you ever see 28 Days Later? There were two people they found just, like, checked out. They're just like, fuck it.
Yeah.
I'm out. I'm shooting myself. And I'd be like that. I'm like, do we have good days ahead of us? Is there anything left to stick around
for? So you're taking yourself out?
I'm not trying to rebuild. Look at me. If I lost these glasses, I'm out of here.
Oh, wow. That's hilarious.
I'm not meant to live. I have to live in the modern world. I have reached a point in my life, things have happened to me that for modern science and medicine, I would not be here anymore. So I would say, you know what? I had a good run. I'm out. It's going to be me.
Shout out to Robert picking himself. That's a great pick. I low-key, I mean... Brennan thinks it's gonna be him, so I mean, it shows you Brennan's ego, but you know, no.
What do you mean, my ego?
They're not gonna pick me because you know.
Because you fucking hate me.
Like, no, don't hate you.
No,
Brennan,
I'm saying y'all talk shit
on.
About me consistently, and it's fine.
Yeah,
that's the dynamic.
That's
so I'm just saying. So now here's an opportunity
shit
to talk shit
about
too.
You a lot of time because you do a lot of shit talking. But anyways, that's I was true. Gonna pick Brennan. I feel like Brennan. I feel like honestly, I it was hard. My pick was between Rob and Ice.
Yeah.
The reason why I was leaning towards Ice, even though athletically Ice is, I think he's
beast. Got the cardio from Zombieland.
He's for sure,
you know?
The most athletic out of all of us, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I do feel like we will be putting together a great plan and things to do to stay alive. And I feel like Ice would be like,
nah, man, I know what to do.
Yeah, I know better than you guys. And I feel like that would probably go get himself killed early trying to just lead the crew and do his, like, to just be like, well, I'm just going to do it this way. And it's just like, bro, we don't have to do it that way. Yeah. It's like, but I'm already standing on this hill. I already said I'm going to do it. You know how Ice is. I chose this hill to die on. And just like, you don't have to down it. You know you don't have to down this hill, right?
Or he might just, like, volunteer himself as being like, I know I'm the most in shape. I'll go on that run for supplies and just not coming back.
And then that, yeah.
What happened to Ice?
The zombies were actually fast too.
Zombies, they had some jets.
Yeah, they got some wheels on them too. So I mean, but the reason why I was leaning towards Rob, not because I'm an asshole, but it's because I was like, Rob, what we know about Rob, Rob is also sickly too. I can just see Rob being like, oh shit, I don't know how this got to me first. Ah! And then he just inhaled some zombie juice. I don't know what the fuck got it me. Is. Some zombie smoke, and he's out of here. Mm-hmm. And so it was
could be.
Yeah, it was neck and neck between Rob and Ice. Who you got?
That's interesting. You know, I actually think it is between Rob and Ice.
Thanks.
Well, I mean, the biggest thing for me is Rob, your asthma. That was the thing for me.
Sure.
All day. You know what I'm saying? Rob has popped a lung before and he has asthma. So,
we do have to run from zombies.
That's
Rob
what I'm saying. It's time to
run.
If it's time to run, we got to run longer than like a quarter mile. Rob's in trouble. And so that's for me. That's number one. But it's either that happens, but we might have gotten safety at that point. And then the secondary point is, to Keenan's point, is I think Ice will be overconfident. In a zombie apocalypse. He'd be like, I'm the most athletic. I'm the strongest. I'm the fastest. And I feel like he'd probably like take out a few zombies and be like, yo, I can protect all of us. And it's like, no, we don't need protection anymore, bro. We're behind the wall. Yeah. No, I can take these. These zombies ain't got to do this shit. Like, no, Ice, get back here, bro. Like, don't do that. He's like, no, I got it. And then he's like, oh, no. Oh, wait, hold on. You know, it's like, I can see Ice's overconfidence in his abilities. And get him fucked up. But I'd say, you know, the low-hanging fruit is definitely Rob. Unfortunately for you, Rob, I love you.
Thank you. I mean, K-Mike Hall said it great. He said, Rob is, honestly, he's a black belt.
No, he's a black belt. You know, he is. But, you know, stamina is the thing.
That's the thing.
He's
going like,
to fuck up the first three or four
zombies.
Zombies
don't go down, like, due to head injury. You know what I mean?
Watch Rob just be like,
Just fuck it.
This is after three zombies, he just died because he's so tired. That's great, bro.
Oh my god,
yeah, that's pretty funny.
Oh man, that's great. So next question. We saw that. What's his name? The main character, the Doctor Strange looking motherfucker, right?
Yep.
He his wife pretty much sold her soul, right? To keep him alive. So would you sell your soul to an evil force to keep your significant other alive? Also, would you sell your soul to get revenge, which is something with Percy did also.
Yeah.
So, two-part question.
Two-part. The first part, no, I wouldn't. Love you, Andrea. I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't sell my soul. Because here's the other part. I would hope she wouldn't do it for me. You know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't want to live as a vampire.
How would you feel? Like, that's
what
I'd be
saying. A little bit like, would you let me go? Yeah. Like, I would not want to be kept around as a vampire. Now I got to drink blood? Are you kidding me?
What if it wasn't to be a vampire? Like, you sell your soul, you get fucked up, whatever, but they're perfectly back to normal.
No, I wouldn't want somebody to sell. Like, I would hope she would be happy later, like, in her life and move on.
Yeah.
Like, let me go.
I feel that.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't need you to, like, damn yourself for all eternity just so I can, like, squeak out another 20, 30 years. You know what I mean?
Just seeing Rob having to drink blood, he said earlier, I just, Rob being like, ew! I can't do this!
Oh, God.
Drink it or you're going to die.
You see what you made me do?
I sold my soul for you, Rob, but do I have to drink all the blood?
And all the blood? Oh, my God.
It's clotting. It's clotting.
I hate it when it's clotting. Oh, it's like pulp.
Oh,
hey, Rob, all you got to do is just chew it a little, you know?
Ugh.
Drink it with your teeth closed, the strainer.
Ugh, Jesus.
No thanks.
Also,
would I sell my soul for revenge? Probably not, to be honest with you.
So somebody came and killed your wife in front of you.
Oh, okay, well, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Killed her in front of you and then killed your parents in front of you.
And the only way to get to the level to get them back.
They're too powerful. You can't do anything.
I was thinking about petty revenge. Something like that is like, man, I hope I never have to experience that. But I mean, if that was the case, it was something like on that level, I might consider it. Might have to. Because like if somebody kills somebody you love and care about in front of you, like, I don't know. It feels like all bets would be off at that point.
Yeah.
I want to.
Go ahead.
Now I was going to say, for some reason, I want to know Kara's answer to this question.
Yeah, go for it.
I don't think I would. I think either way, I don't want to live for eternity. No way.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Is my beloved a ghost that I get to hang out with?
No,
maybe
I mean,
they're regular person.
They're back to life.
Oh, they get back to life if
you sell your soul. Like, and you become a vampire, but they're alive and well.
Well, actually, in this case, she was fine.
She was fine.
She was fine. He became a vampire.
So you turned your significant other into a
vampire. So it's like if your husband was dying and you made a deal for you sold your soul, but then your husband came back, but he's a vampire now.
Oh, I would say yes, because I feel like my husband would want to be a
vampire. He'd
want
to be a vampire. So. That comes with knowing
your spouse. Babe, thanks.
Yo, this is so many like follow-up questions I'm not going to ask.
The fucking fangs is incredible. So,
Karen does that. That's why I want to ask her. Like, she does shit like that where she'll say something, and I'm like, I have so many follow-up questions I'm definitely not going to ask.
Yeah.
But goddamn it, Kara.
You can ask.
No, I don't want to know. Please, move it on. Go ahead, Keenan. Ask the question.
would I sell my soul? Here's the thing. I think I talked about this before. After Janelle said she wouldn't take a bullet from me, I said, fuck it. No, aww. I would never. No.
Like any part of her body? Like I wouldn't take it in the arm to save your life?
She was just like, I was like, would you take a bullet from me? She went, no. And I was like, shit. That wasn't even like a, well, what's the situation? Mm-hmm. What happens? Do I get a bullet in the arm? And I was just like, all right, fuck that. Would I sell my soul to an evil force to save her? No. Not at all. Fuck that shit.
I'm just imagining like a slow-mo like bullet shot of just like it's going through the air. And you're just like, no. They're like looking at her. She's standing there. She's like, I'm not going.
She's standing there just like with a shrug, just waving goodbye to you. Just
Yeah.
But to counter that with the also would you sell your soul to get revenge? Absolutely. If like if something did happen, in front of me to any of my like to my lady, to my brother, to my family, to you know those people.
Brennan's
trying to point to himself like me. Brittany wouldn't give a. Brittany would be like, "Damn, man, Keenan. Oh man,
that
so
was fucked up.
Oh,
we got Keenan.
So crazy. We got a meeting at 7, guys. Who's gonna make sure you guys are there? You wouldn't give a fuck.
We'll have a memorial for you.
So
be real nice. Be flowers.
But yeah, absolutely. I would definitely do that because I would go. I would be just like fucking Percy. I would let that smoke consume me. I wouldn't give a flying fuck at that particular point. You're dead.
Done.
Brennan,
what are you saying?
No. Like, first of all, I don't have a significant other, so we can go ahead and let that one go.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't nobody to sell a soul for. And then for revenge, like, I'm honestly just not a vengeful human being.
Okay. I mean, you have a beautiful son named Link.
Yeah.
You're not getting revenge for your son?
No.
Wow. Sell your soul.
Wow.
It's not going to bring him back.
That's true.
That's for me. I'm not a vengeful person. Like, I'm going to be fucking devastated. I'm going to be super sad. But the thing is, like, I don't want to take somebody else's son or daughter. Mm. You know what I'm saying? I don't want anybody else to feel what I'm feeling. Like, it's not going to help me.
And you'll have to think about that for eternity.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. What if they don't have a family?
Everybody has a family.
I mean, they don't know their family.
Anymore.
It doesn't matter. Like, for me, it's like, that's the thing. It's like, I even remember, like, back in the day, like, when I was in high school, there was a guy named Crazy Tony, RIP. Rest in power, brother. And he was like the guy, you know, like you got the dude who was just unnecessarily hood mm-hmm. in your school for no reason and just like would always have guns, you know, like just violent, getting in fights all the time. Mm-hmm. That was Crazy Tony. Mm-hmm. That's why we called him Crazy Tony.
Yeah.
And
that's how you get that name.
I remember he used to like talk to me. He'd come over and play basketball with us and stuff sometimes. And he'd talk to me like, yo, bro, you a real one. You know, if anything ever happens to you, man, I got your back. I'm a rain on them. I was like, actually, no, please don't do that.
Yes.
Yeah. I was like, no, I don't need that. Like, nah, man, we got to defend you, man. You're protect Brent at all costs. Like, no, you know, that's protecting me. That's not revenging. Yeah, that's the difference. Protect me, but don't get revenge. If something happens to me and I get killed, then I don't want you to go kill somebody for me.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. And I was like, why are we talking about this? You know? Like, no one's going to kill me, you know? Yeah. So, but I've always felt like that. I've always been like, you know, I don't see the merit of revenge, but I've also never been in a place where I've needed to see it.
You're going
to
love this next question then.
Here we go.
Yeah, I mean, Ronald said, if you take my daughter's life, I'm definitely selling my soul for revenge and I'm taking my time with it. No games being played.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, I don't know what, like, if that's pleasure for you. That's what I'm saying. Like that wouldn't do anything for me. Like, it wouldn't, I don't think, like, I would feel terrible. I'd want the justice, whatever is supposed to happen to them, mm-hmm. supposed to happen to them. But, like, I'm not going to feel any pleasure by saying, like, let me pull your fingernails off and, like, you know, cut your throat. Like, it's not going to.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah, maybe.
The thing is, like, torture work. And, like, hurting other people, like, it's never going, like, I can't imagine a space where that would bring me pleasure. But again, like I said, I've never been in a space.
I don't think it's even about necessarily fully pleasure, but it reminds me of that movie Law Abiding Citizen with Gerald Butler.
Oh, yeah,
it's called Law Abiding Citizen. I forgot what it's called. And then with Jamie Foxx. And mm-hmm. it was like, you know, he pretty much, like, spoiler alert, he pretty much went to jail on purpose because he bought like the fucking like the, I guess the place next to it so he can like escape from jail every once in a while, kill who he needed to kill that killed his family, then go back to jail and they didn't know he was in jail. They thought he was still in jail, not doing it. So like, who the fuck is killing all these people?
Yeah.
That movie was so fire to me. And I got it. It was just like, yo, they came in there.
What's the name of this movie?
Law Abiding Citizen. It's fucking dope.
Yeah, I think I want to see that.
That movie is
good.
fucking dope.
It's pretty crazy.
So yeah, I mean, it made me think of that.
It's pretty crazy. There's one scene I'm thinking of like, that shit was crazy.
Yes. So yeah, I would just watch. It's not a bad movie at all. It's really good. Jamie Foxx killed it. Gerald Butler fucking killed it acting wise. Damn, I mean, this next question I wanted you to answer, bro. I guess you got to answer the phone.
Literally 20 seconds.
Okay. All right, so, yeah, I guess next question, which leads from the last question, and actually was something that Percy kind of had to deal with, because the guy with the little teacher with the tongue, he said this in his little dreamish throwback thing or whatever. Mm-hmm. He said, which is more powerful, the desire of revenge or the ability to forgive? Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I think that that question is probably easier to answer. You might think it's easier to answer, but I don't know. I mean, it depends on the type of person you are. For somebody like Brennan, it might be mm-hmm. different. But if you kill somebody's child in front of them, it's just like the desire for revenge will be like, yo, it might overcome all that shit. Like, yo, there's nothing to forget. You have to die. You have to go. So I think that's hard. I think it just depends on the person for that. But like, I guess if I'm answering for me, I honestly feel like I've forgiven a lot. I've been to therapy. I guess that's powerful, but I feel like that's easy to do for me. Like, it's easy for me to forgive. This question, when I was writing it, was even kind of hard for me to answer, but it was just like, you know, man. If I'm eeny, meeny, miny, moaning, and I guess I would say the desire for revenge is slightly more, is like a hair more powerful than the ability to forgive. So just to repeat the question.
I saw it. I hear it.
But I was saying, I don't know if you probably don't remember it from the show, but the guy with like the silver tongue or whatever that can kind of control you with his tongue.
Yeah.
You know, Percy had a kind of a like, you know, a hallucination, and he said that to him when he was going through that moment towards like the last episode or two. It was just like, yo, what's more powerful, the desire of revenge, or the desire for revenge, or the ability to forgive? And he kind of had to, you know, I guess answer that question. He didn't answer it verbally, but he answered it, you know, physically. And then his sister made a kill anyways. So what is your answer?
Me?
Yeah, right.
I think the ability to forgive is more powerful, personally. I think because that, to me, that is the harder one. I credit you that it is easy for you to do that, because for a lot of people, like, forgiving somebody that's wronged you, like, seriously,
for sure,
can be very difficult. Yeah. Whereas like, I think it's easier to sit in that hate and that feeling of I've been wronged and I deserve better and I deserve this and that to make me feel better versus letting it go and just being like, you know what, you know, chalking it up to whatever and forgiving somebody. I think that is a more powerful thing. I think the desire for revenge is like a knee jerk reaction, and the ability to forgive takes work. And I think that at the end of the day is a more powerful thing,
for sure,
personally.
And would you say it's hard, really hard for you personally to forgive?
It depends. I would say overall, like, I don't think so. I think I can move past a lot. There are definitely some things in life that, you know, are unforgivable, but for the most part, I think I'm able to forgive for most things, I suppose. I don't think I'm a vengeful person.
Right. I even with my answer, I don't think I'm necessarily a vengeful person like that. I think, like, you know, I guess it depends on the situation, but I feel like I've easily, if you have a discussion with me about some shit, if you wrong me, and then you can come to me face to face and we can have a discussion, and we can both hold ourselves accountable, I can be like, all right, cool. You know, I can normally be like, all right, you know, why am I going to hold this against you for the rest of your fucking life?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? For the most part. Brennan.
I think for a couple different reasons, the ability to forgive is more powerful. The first one is that I think, like, you have to overcome the feeling of revenge to be able to get to forgiveness. Forgiveness isn't like is not the initial feeling when somebody wrongs you. It's like somebody wrongs you, not immediately like, I forgive you, you know? Like, you have to work your way to that.
You know, the revenge feeling is the one that naturally occurs, like that anger, you know, that pain.
Right.
Like you want to do something about it. And so that comes easy, in my opinion. That's just there. As soon as something happens to you, that happens. Like we're here, anger, revenge, hand in hand. But the ability to actually truly forgive, I think is extremely difficult. Because the thing is, I'm really good at like moving things out of my mind, so I'm not worried about it. But like, you know, so it's like, I'm not going to take any action against you. I'm not going to seek revenge or seek harm to you. But I also don't give a fuck about you. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I move you aside. Like, I just, you no longer, you know, are of any consequence in my life. Like, I have been hurt by many people in my life. And for me, like, the reaction I normally take isn't necessarily forgiving them. It's just removing them from my life, which I personally believe is a punishment in itself. You know what I'm saying? Like, I live my life every single day to be able to, in all honesty, outside of all my pettiness, and like, I do my best to make the people around me enjoy every day and make everything better and build things with everyone.
I just wanted you to say, I live my life a quarter mile at a time. I just wanted you to say it so bad. Go ahead.
Quarter mile at a time. But yeah, so because I live my life that way, it's like me removing somebody from my life almost feels like revenge to me. You know, it's because like, you don't get me anymore. You know, and you could call that ego or whatever, but I've spent 35 years doing everything I can to grow myself into who you see. And so in that space where I'm forcibly becoming this person, I feel like I like to be a gift to the people around me every day in every way that I can be. And so fuck you, don't ever speak to me again. You know what I'm saying? That's like the most revenge I'll take. And that for me doesn't feel like forgiveness, because like there's people right now that as I'm talking, I'm thinking about that, I'm like, I don't know how I would forgive them for the things they've done to me. I don't know. I cannot draw a map to that.
Yeah, sure.
You know what I'm totally saying? But that. If you were like, yo, Brennan, you know, like, put him on this pinata thing, and you got like a rubber bat, you know what I'm saying? Like, would I take a swing or two? Like, yeah, probably.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's an easy thing to do.
For sure.
You know, but like to be like, actually, I truly forgive you. Like, I absolve you of these feelings and these, you know what I'm saying?
That is
so difficult. And so I've been able to do it in certain aspects of my life, but most of the time I'm just kind of like, fuck you, stay away.
Yeah.
So I think forgiving is significantly more different. And one other thing that came up was when Rob said something is unforgivable. You know, there's a terminology that is commonly used in our vernacular and the way that we speak of an entire category of things that cannot be forgiven. There's no unrevengeable. Like, there's no word like that, because it's harder to forgive, you know, where it's like, you know, like you can revenge, you can get vengeance for anything.
Yeah. That's true.
Some things cannot be forgiven. So I think that just in itself makes it harder.
Vengeance. I am vengeance. I am vengeance.
Martha!
Sid is eating itself. All right. I guess the follow up to that then, do you think Percy needs therapy?
Oh my god, this reminds me of that meme, like, men will literally make a deal with the devil instead of just going to therapy. You know what I mean?
I've never seen that meme, but I'm just like, oh shit.
You can fill in the blank. It's just men will do blank instead of going to therapy.
Yeah,
literally anything. Men will suffer their entire life
after look, for somebody who has been in therapy, well, I gotta go back to therapy.
Agreed.
What do you mean agree? What about showing you that I need to go back to therapy for?
I just think it's healthy for anybody, man.
Okay.
That's true.
Go fuck yourself. oh, for sure. I do need to go back to therapy for sure. But I was in therapy for 3 years, and it's a big help. So I do think Percy needs therapy after he kills all of them. But I don't mind him killing all of them first, to be honest with you. Knock it all out. Get it done. They try to destroy your fucking, literally your hometown on top of your family. You know what I'm saying? It turned your sister against you. She fucking stabbed you. Mm. You know what I'm saying? They technically slit her throat in front of you. And then, you know, she survived. I mean, they was able to help her and get back by your life.
Ronald said men will watch anime and discuss it instead of going to therapy.
That is true.
Facts.
Yeah,
absolutely true.
As we live and breathe.
Ah, man, yeah, you know us so well. But yes, eventually I do think he needs to go to therapy and get some of this shit worked out, because like you said, you know, it's not going to bring anybody back. You know, once you know, you're going to have to eventually get over this. Brennan, what do you think?
I think that, like, yes and no. I think he needs a psychiatrist. I think therapy.
He needs medication.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, he needs more than therapy. Yeah, there's levels to, like, therapy is like, all right, cool, let's deal with these
Yeah, like these,
I don't like
these,
the medication like, on people just so
yeah,
quickly,
well,
man.
Motherfucker built a gun with a demon. Like, you know what I'm saying?
He
like,
is to, seeing shit.
Yeah.
But it makes sense for him, for somebody who feels like he probably was a coward, right?
No. Yes. He doesn't. Like, I'm just saying, like, yeah. He literally built a gun with a demon. Like, let's just take this literally. He built a gun with a demon to get revenge.
I mean, who else gonna help him put a gun?
I know in a world that doesn't even have guns, he built a gun with a demon.
The dude might need an antipsychotic.
That's what I'm saying. Like, my man is going wild. Like, imagine in the real world, like, yo, I had visions and, you know, I built this this thing that, you know, fires projectile metal at this hot metal at things.
And every time
it's like,
see
how
somebody,
did you see this? Like, well, the demon.
Yeah,
the demon told me. It's like, motherfucker, what?
And every first time of all, you're that person pops up, and then the name engraves itself on your gun too. That was kind of dope.
I feel like I will compare him. You know,
that's a pretty dope weapon. I'm not gonna lie.
That's a fucking dope ass weapon.
That shit's dope as fuck. But even still, it's evil as fuck. Yes. And he literally was like, so yes, I think he needs a psychiatrist.
I've come across a lot of really cool weapons in D&D that were also cursed as fuck.
Yes.
Oh, for real.
He needs He needs more than therapy. He needs like the most advanced form of medicine that we have for mental stability. Yeah. We'll probably come from a top psychiatrist.
I think
we'll start
therapy,
there and then work our way back to therapy.
I think therapy should be first, and if it's getting worse,
no,
then
he's
it
literally
be.
Killing people. Like, therapy is not where you start when you're literally murdering motherfuckers. Therapy is where you
that
end up after
your family.
Medicated.
All right, man, Rob, what do you got?
Yo, yeah, he absolutely needs therapy. 100%. The dude is waking up in a cold sweat, screaming in the middle of the night. Thinking about his family.
Psychiatrist, right?
This guy definitely needs some help. Something strong. Yeah. A lot. Dude's got PTSD for sure.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. I mean, he was tied up and tortured and watched his family get killed in front of him. The dude needs some help. He needs some help. Even after all this, he needs some help. He shot himself in the hand just to get away from a demon. It's just, no.
Does his sister need more help than him?
Probably, I mean, honestly, she seems by the end of it a bit more well adjusted than he did.
What's the syndrome where you like your captors?
Oh, Stockholm syndrome.
Yeah.
But she was like mind controlled.
She was mind controlled, but I'm sure there was some level of it. Like, she literally grew up in that house, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. She slit that woman's throat real quick.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're probably pretty bad to her.
Yeah, they were probably pretty bad.
Oh, we're hungry. This way.
You saw she had multiple bite marks on her neck. Would they just been using her like a juice box?
Yeah.
Like, shit. Just
fucking Capri Sun, dog. So a real life human Capri Sun, bro.
She was a Capri Sun, a walking, talking Capri Sun that the Briarwoods kept around.
That is horrible,
just
man.
Just because they could.
Can we move on now?
Yeah. She needs therapy too. Yeah. Both of them.
They both need a strong psychiatrist.
Yes.
Bro, just calling somebody a human Capri
human
Sun.
Human high C, says Mike Hall.
Human high C, man. Just when you got to hold the straw on the tip of the straw to just shoot the juice out when you do it.
Oh my god,
that is horrendous. All right, man. So seeing all this stuff, why do after watching some of these fights, why do villains never wait to watch to see the hero dies? Isn't that why you're here, Brennan?
The fuck, man. This is the thing that upsets me. Like, of course, like while you're watching it, you don't want the protagonist to die, but you guys say I'm an antagonist, right? If I'm literally here to kill you. That's what my goal is to do. I'm not going to like turn my back and walk away when the acid fills the room waiting to kill you. Because we know what happens in every single scenario. When there's a hero and you have a vat of acid, like, they're going to find a way out. Like, that's just what happens. That's what media says. So for me, like, do you guys remember what was it? The Jungle Book with was it Idris Elba?
Yeah.
As
Shere Khan?
Yep.
Mm.
One of the best antagonists ever. Why?
He's up there.
Remember, you guys remember when he was like that wolf was giving all the speeches and you stand on that rock.
Mm-hmm.
And Shere Khan was just like, damn, man, that's fucked up. You know, like, whatever, man. I'm just, oops, knocks him off the rock, dead. Anybody else got a problem?
Yep.
That's how you fucking antagonize. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't take, he took no chances with that.
Yeah.
That y'all don't even have a chance to rally around him because he's already dead.
Yeah.
So for me, like, as a villain, if you want to truly, like invoke fear and discipline into the people that you're trying to antagonize, don't play no damn games with no lava or acid coming
acid,
up.
Yeah.
And if you do, you sit there and watch it and wait. Like, no, I'm going to watch your ass burn. Okay, now I can sleep tonight because I know you didn't escape.
It would be funny if they sit there and watched it and they went through all that and they were just like, do it again. Hit the button.
Yeah.
Just like, boom.
Josh.
Do it twice.
Exactly. Sit there and wait.
Spells, aren't you?
Yeah. Yep. Oh, man, you almost got out of there. That's crazy. Hey, your teammates, go put them back in there.
But it's the same reason. It's like the same thing why, you know, like the heroes watch or let people power up and shit like that, or the villains let people power up. It's the same shit, you know. I mean, that's
that's one of my favorite things is when you see like a power up happen and then somebody stops it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah,
at least
kick,
to try
yeah,
to.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, man, shut the fuck. No, I'm not gonna let you get to your main power. I'm not gonna let this happen. I'm going to.
There's
got to
be a show. You know what I'm saying?
No, I get it. It's for entertainment purposes, but I'm just saying, as a aspiring antagonist.
Yeah.
Like motherfuckers would be dead.
I do want to see like an anime where that keeps happening, and so the protagonist has to find a different way to get to that level.
Yeah,
I would love to see that.
Yeah.
Rob, what you got?
No, I mean, why do they do that? For dramatic tension, because you know there has to be, they have to give like a, you know, the heroes some sort of, oh my god, how are they going to get out of this, and you know, able to continue. That being said, talking about like, have you guys seen Red Watchmen?
No.
I don't want to talk about it so bad, but I don't want to spoil it because it's one of the most badass moments ever. But there's all that to say, like, there's a villain that at one point is just like, hey, this is my big plan, and they're just like, well, we're gonna stop you from doing that. And he goes, what do you think why who do you think I'm, some sort of like comic book villain? I'm not telling you because you can stop me. I'm telling you because I did it 35 minutes ago. And it's like, that is a fucking line.
Yeah.
Yes, that's a villain.
Yeah,
but
yes.
At that point, you know, like,
what is this villain's name?
I don't want to tell you because then it will ruin the book.
Ah,
you should check it out. Check out Watchmen; it's incredible.
That is just my
You read Watchmen? You seen Watchmen?
The one with Regina King.
That's the new show. That's like the sequel series. It's really good.
Mm-hmm.
But there is the original is. I mean, both are really good.
So you're talking about the original movie.
There's a comic book, and then there's a movie. The movie's okay. The comic book is, in my opinion, a work of art.
Every piece of content is only as good as the antagonist, in my opinion.
This antagonist is top tier. I can't tell you who it is because the point is of the book is kind of who this person is.
That's why I like antagonists. It's not someone, just like watching the heroes lose. Like, nah, man.
You have to have
that's
one.
Why I like the Infinity War was such a good series because Thanos pulled up and he fucked shit up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He was just like, dang, that's crazy. Should have went for the head. Snap. Yeah.
But then also, too, you kind of felt Thanos. You just kind of like, I mean, he kind of gave you some points here and there.
Yeah, Killmonger. You know,
Killmonger, yeah.
Thanos.
I mean, you can tell me afterwards. You
know. I'll tell you afterwards. Yeah,
don't tell me shit.
All right.
My favorite is when Lucy Liu in Kill Bill, when she cuts the guy's head off at the conference.
Yes.
And she's like, anybody else has...
Now's the fucking time.
Collect your fucking head.
Damn, that was one of the most gangsta lines and gangsta moments. And you just saw her little feet just go...
Yeah.
Whoosh.
And she let his blood spurt out and just sat there watching
Tarantino.
It.
It was dope.
Classic Tarantino blood
Gotta
spray.
Have the blood spray.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I'm with Rob. It's just like, you know, I understand that.
Or even Tarantino speaking Leonardo DiCaprio in Django. Fucking excellent antagonist.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Really good
fucking
antagonist.
Fucking excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Samuel Jackson in that same movie. Oh, my God.
I hated him.
Yes, exactly. But he was good at it.
So
you know?
Good at it,
or anytime in war movies when, like, the bad guys or, you know, the opposing people they stab someone slowly and they'll go shh, shh, shh.
Oh, man. Dog, I remember, I think it was Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah.
Saving Private Ryan.
Oh, yeah.
When he's like,
yeah, when he's like, he's like, no.
Oh, that shit hurt.
I was just like, that's how you do it.
Oh my God, Brennan.
I mean, you see what I'm saying? It's like, now I'm questioning his answer about, like,
I wanted to see him die afterwards. Like, that guy, I was just like, that's how you make people want to kill you.
Oh, man, that was fucking brutal. Oh, but yeah, man. I mean, I'm
and
just
then
saying.
He walked right by the motherfucker after he killed. Oh,
yeah,
man.
That
I was like, yo.
Yeah, it's rough.
Killed his homie, then walked by.
It's a rough
like,
series
you ain't
of
shit.
Events.
Dog, yeah.
It's a rough series.
There's no
of
way.
Events.
There's no way. But yeah, I went, like I said, I'm with Rob. And, you know, I mean, it's all for dramatic, but I do like that just being like, you know, like, I did this at 35. What are you talking about?
Yeah,
like, I'm
you
doing
can't
it.
Stop me. It's
yeah,
done.
It's I'm all for both of those. You know what I'm saying? I understand both sides of it. But I do want to see more of that. Being like, no, I'm telling you what happens, or like I can watch you. You know, I don't have to watch you die. It's more like for the sense of like, all right, we get to focus strictly on them to try to escape.
Yeah.
And your eyes focus on them while the bad guys got to do their other. I guess they made it to where they had to go finish some other shit anyways.
Yeah.
Wherever the case may be.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I get it. So now that we've seen the results, was Pike's level up worth the wait, Rob?
Absolutely. I mean, she came in and just did all the work for them, essentially. What I told you, holy characters, when it comes to the undead, when it comes to the evil shit, they're what you want on your side. As soon as Pike was there with her power up, I knew it was going to be some good shit. She was blessing everybody's weapons. She without Pike, there's no victory here.
Oh,
absolutely.
For sure.
So I wish the journey there had been more exciting, but ultimately the results were worth the wait.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean... Brennan kind of hinted. Like, I remember I said something. I was like, "Oh, I said Ice was Pike," and he was like, "No, the fuck, he's not." I was like, "Why not?" He was just like, "Just trust me, he's not fucking Pike."
Nope.
And I was just like, "Oh, I mean, she about to get out." And then I just put two and two together. I remember what Rob said, like, the holy characters are just fucking monsters. And so when I guess light to darkness type thing, I was just like, "All right, she might as well get out." She came through, had a fucking holy Kamehameha, fucking had a spirit bomb. Her whole action scene fighting. That anime, that shit was fire to me.
It was dope.
I watched it. I rewinded it a few times. I was like, this is kind of dope.
And then the Briarwoods were watching from a distance like, shit, I better get down there. Yeah. this looks bad.
Man, she kind of giving it to him.
And yeah. Even when she fought the Briarwoods, when she was fighting them, it was just like, yo, she was getting down with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was.
And I was just
they were so overpowering when they first came on the scene, too.
Oh, they were?
Oh, yeah. They smacked
them up. They were fucking them up.
Yeah, they did.
So
it wasn't even close. I'm just like, dang, why did y'all even run? Like, y'all could have taken out everybody here.
Probably.
Yeah, true. Brennan.
Yeah, it's definitely worth the wait. That's the reason why you were like, oh, you know, it's the best things in life are worth waiting for. Like, mm-hmm. I've never had anything that was dope in this life that wasn't, like, you had to work hard for it or wait for it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And Pike did not disappoint.
At all.
Mm-hmm. Pike had to go back, find her center, and then she did that Luke Skywalker self-projection.
She did.
But also, like, he was just a hologram. She was here with the hands.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she gave all the hands. As Rob said, the holiness was too much for the undead.
Yes.
And it was impressive to say the least. Like, she turned the tide of every part of that battle, single-handedly.
Yeah, like Rob said, without her, there's no, this is not even close W. There's like they don't even have a chance at all winning this.
They're
shit.
Dead underneath that tree.
Yeah, absolutely. So with this season over now, who are your MVPs and your LVPs of Vox Machina?
Rob.
Isn't it Machina?
Was it
Machina.
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 I'll start with my LVP. It's Vex, the sister.
You said she's the LVP?
She's the LVP
okay.
for me. And not because, like, everybody did have their moment. For me, trying to look at everybody's moments, I felt like she had the least of them. Like, she had the spider tingle sense with the dragon thing, but ultimately, like, wasn't the reason they beat that guy. Vax was the guy that came in with the knowledge that allowed them to beat him. You know, Grog, you know, got the, you know, held on to the Lord Briarwood when he got burnt up, you know. Caelith built the sun, you know. Pike got the power up. It was kind of between like her and her brother, and I just kind of looked at what her contributions were, and they seemed to be the least, honestly. Like, she felt like a lot of her time kind of like grabbing at people saying snap out of it. That was her biggest contribution, is uselessly telling people to snap out of it. That being said, I still like her as a character. She just didn't really... Her W's were lowercase W's, in my opinion.
Yeah.
That being said, my MVP is... I think there you could have a couple different choices here. For me, I got to go with Pike, just because of how she showed up, when she showed up. I mean, obviously, she wasn't there in the final moments, but to get them where they got, they wouldn't have been able to do it without Pike at the end of the day.
That's fair. Yeah. I mean, that's... Yeah. I want to go with Vex also.
For your LVP?
For my LVP. I honestly wanted to go with what's his name? Scalen. But I mean, at the end of the day, he came through in the fucking...
He fucked up Vedmire. He blew up his house.
Blew up his fucking house. At the end of the day, you know, he fucked up that... He held his own. Yeah, he held his own. He saved them from the acid. Without him, they're fucking dead immediately.
He was exhausted from that.
And he
invented heavy metal so that they could stay high above the acid line. Yeah, absolutely.
He had a few moments. I was just like, as a character, I was just like, he's more a comedic relief. But then, and I feel like he was weak, kind of like one of the weaker ones. Mm-hmm. But then his skill set came in handy.
Absolutely.
For sure came in handy.
Yes.
So I wanted to give it to him, man, but it was just like, I kind of agree with Rob. It's like, she didn't do much. But here's the thing. Let me go to my MVP. My MVP, I guess to pick somebody different from Rob.
Yep.
I'm going to go with Grog. I think, you know, Grog came through, fucking sliced old dude with the fucking axe right through his stomach.
Yep.
And held him down, the reason why Pike was able to get him and get the kill. You know what I'm saying? Without him and Pike... just doesn't go down the same way. I think they get the fuck up out of there.
Grog was racking up numbers in that zombie fight.
Yeah.
He had a great time doing
it. He's built for that. Yes.
He saved them on multiple occasions, I think, from just him being like brute strength and strong. And call him dumb or whatever. But
when
like,
he chopped through that giant, just started at the top and just like chop, chop, chop all the way down.
Man.
That's fucking
I was like,
crazy.
Damn, bro. All
fucking
right.
Fucking beast. He was somebody I'm like, yo, yeah. If we have him on the team, I have trust in him to get direct shot. Yeah. So I would give him my MVP. But, you know, to go on to my LVP, you know, saying I think season two, I'll get into that later. Go ahead.
All right. I say my LVP is the bear.
That's fair.
Easy enough.
Shit. Yeah.
The bear. Yeah. The bear all day. The bear had no stakes in almost any of these fights. So
yeah.
The bear
good
did
answer.
Not throw any hands with anyone. It was a little scary. A couple
so
times,
bad I forgot about him.
Yeah. The bear was the most forgettable character in the entire series. No question. Thank you for bringing that up, Kara.
Damn.
So that's my LVP. The bear was trash, and the bear shouldn't have been. Like, a bear is a bear. Like, the bear could have been fucking up those zombies. You know what I'm saying? But whatever.
Yeah.
And so I'm gonna go a little bit left on my MVP. I'm gonna go with Keyleth.
Yeah, I don't hate it. That's not a bad
because
choice.
Because we don't have a show without Keyleth.
Yeah.
Like when that dragon, the original dragon, showed up in the beginning, they're all dead if Keyleth isn't there.
Yep.
Like she fucking showed up. She was like, I will summon the goddamn lightning.
Yep.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And stop this right now because otherwise they're all dead.
Yeah.
You know, like, and she was like, when they really were down bad, Keyleth is the one who really pulled up.
She summoned that ice wall.
Yeah.
She summoned that mini sun with the sun tree.
Yep.
She got him the fast travel back.
Yep.
Keyleth has got her moments.
See, that's what I'm saying.
Not mad at the pick.
Yeah, I'm saying Keyleth is like is integral. Yeah. You know, like the brother and the sister, like, you know, say they're close to the bottom because it's like, especially the brother, he was gonna be my second pick for the LVP. Mm. And the reason is because he was so easily mind controlled. You know what I'm saying? By the...
The only person that didn't was Grog in this. It happened to him so many other times.
Yeah, but it's like he got mind control earlier, so I was like, I can't, yeah.
Yeah, I know, I'm just saying, but it's just like how quickly that happened, and it's like, man. And all he really cared about was being in love. Like, what's up?
I was going to say, the only reason I wouldn't give it to Vax is because the only reason they got the journal was because of him, because he broke into their room and he got it.
Yeah.
That's probably his biggest moment.
Yeah. But
you got it. And you need some door unlocking. But I hear you.
Yeah. It's like you need to have the assassins on the team like them. But like I said, Keyleth is my MVP. She was so clutch. If I could take any one of these members and put them on my team, she was always there. Like Pike, you can say is MVP, but she wasn't there. While she wasn't there, who was the person that had to hold down the fort for her role and her own role?
I think on multiple occasions, all three of our MVPs, if they're not there at some point in time, the squad doesn't
they're
make
done.
It. The squad doesn't
well,
make
I'm
it.
Just saying Pike is gone for a big part of the whole show.
Yeah, and Pike, you know, doesn't come back.
Yeah, but they get wiped out by the zombies.
What are we talking about?
No, I get it, but my
if
point
Grog's
being is
not
like,
there, they don't get out of that acid trap.
Yeah. No, I agree. They're all necessary. Like everybody except for the bear is necessary.
Yeah.
So I picked the LVP.
As of now, hopefully,
and the
two.
Bear is whose animal companion?
Vex.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Vex was necessary.
I mean,
yeah,
somewhat.
Snap out of it.
Yeah, right.
The bear wasn't slapping
that
nobody
didn't
out of shit.
Work.
Snap out of it.
That shit did not work.
All right, man. All right. So the show has been picked up for a season two.
Hell yeah, let's go. I'm in.
I'm in too. Would you want to see any of the main characters get killed as the show goes on, Rob?
I'd be into it. I'd be into it if they were just like, all right, like we gave you a season to get used to these characters. There were a couple times where I thought it may have even been a stronger decision to let some of these characters die, like even leave some of these, like obviously they built a lot of like, oh, you kind of want to see how this works out. But sometimes it can be a really powerful thing in storytelling and in a show to let those things go unfinished and wonder what could have been. And when... I got to be honest, I was a little disappointed they brought Vax back. Not because I don't like Vax. I like him as a character. Mm. But I thought it would have been like crazy storytelling if like once he got under the vampire's mind control, it was like, that's it. Yeah. Like they sacrificed him. And I thought they were going to. And it would have been like Keyleth would have had that would have had to deal with his love confession that they never got to deal with. You know, Vex would have lost her second half, like her brother, this person that she had that bond with her entire life. And that would have been, I think, really interesting to see what that would have done to those characters. That being said, you know, I'm not mad that he's back. I like Vax. He's cool. But I think now that we've built up our relationship with these characters a bit more, it would be interesting to see how some of what happens to them if some of them weren't to make it back.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, when Keyleth was about to die, I was just like...
I thought that was real, too.
I was like, all right, I'm cool.
Yeah, I thought she was done.
I thought that was cool. I was like, all right. There's stakes to the show.
How she got saved is really cool, though.
Yep. Yeah, you know, he came back, did the whole little whatever.
Yeah, he put the plant in her or whatever. Yeah.
He put his seed in her. You know what I'm saying?
Oh my God.
Here we go.
He did.
I mean, this is why you're scaling, whatever his name is. But I mean, yeah. When that happened, but now that I like this show like this, and I'm like, I'm all in. I don't want to see them die season two. I want to see somebody die season three. I want to see them go through this next season, us fall in love with some more characters very, very strongly, and then season three is just like, all right, now somebody might go that you actually fell in love with.
Yeah. Mitchell raises a good point in the chat. He says, you know, team's just too big, and I agree. That was something I was saying last episode. There's like one or – I like all the characters, but there's maybe one or two too many.
How many? What is it? One, two, three,
there's
four,
seven.
Five. Yeah.
That's not including the bear.
Bear's gotta go. Brennan, what you got?
I'd say the emotional death that would hit me the hardest that I think actually would work for a lot of reasons would be the gnome.
Scanlan?
Yeah, Scanlan.
Yeah.
I don't want him to, but I'm just saying, like, as a that looking at it from a creative standpoint, mm-hmm. You know, he would have an epic death because he'd probably be saving everybody with some kind of thing that he invented or whatever. As well as most likely having just had sex with some form of whore. Mm-hmm. I think he would have a very dramatic death that would affect all the team members because, you know, he has been down for the cause since day one, and I think he has a unique relationship with everyone, especially Pike. And so, like, to see Pike have to deal with his death, I think would be crazy because she's supposed to be holy. You know, she's supposed to be pure, and now she has hatred in her heart for whoever killed him.
That would be interesting.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so to be able to have the most holy person have to deal with that, as well as the rest of the team, I think would be a crazy interesting plot twist. And so I wouldn't want this to happen, but, like, just story-wise, I think it would be really good.
I think him or Grog, because I think she has love
for
both of them.
Grog. I think she'd have a harder time with him than Grog, because Grog's always in fights getting hurt, and she's always healing him. Whereas this guy is always in the background, you know, playing the shit and, like, you know, jumping around and being funny. Yeah. And so for him to, like, die while saving everybody, like, in a tragic way. I agree. And yeah. I think she loves him. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
like,
they
she,
definitely have a thing.
They have a thing. Yeah, so a thing, like, I love Grog like a brother, but, like, this is my person, you know.
Because they're both.
He just needs to stop whoring around so much, you know.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, if he died, I'd be like, all right, he's dead. I wouldn't.
He's not the character. Wait, that's the character you said I'm most like. Thanks.
For sure.
Oh, my God.
I mean, for him, I mean, in that sense, it's just like, I feel like he doesn't, I'm not locked into him much.
I got you, yeah.
Yeah, that's all it really is. It's like, I think he's a cool, funny character, but, like, I'm just not, like, I just don't have the same, I guess, feelings towards him, how you might have towards him. But,
Nice to know, man. Thank you. I appreciate that the character that you said is most like me. You don't give a fuck if he dies, and you don't have any feelings towards him at all from watching the show. No. Thank you, Keenan. I like clarity in my relationships, man. It's good to know you. Please, let's move on.
Hey, Brennan. Here, unlike you, if something happened to you, I'd be sad, and I would probably want revenge. Just something crazy happened. Probably. So yeah. So it's easy. Yeah, you would have a meeting in an hour, so you wouldn't give a shit. So go fuck yourself.
The meeting would be about how we honor your memory. Yeah, I would come up with something.
I ain't gonna lie to you. That's not good enough for me.
Damn.
I need more, man. I need more love.
Hate is not love.
All right. So, you know, that's it. That's the end for the question portion of the show. Yes, our likes, dislikes, our overall, you know, our score for this and then our overall scores. Is it cool if I go first? You guys,
yeah, go for it.
Do it.
Go first.
So this four episodes, I mean, I feel like the last four episodes. Fun, action-packed. I feel like there were some stakes in there. I feel like they knocked off the notches that they set up for us. You know what I'm saying? They killed who they needed to kill. They set you up for a cliffhanger for season two. And I enjoyed these four episodes. I would give these four. I think I gave the last four a 7,500, I think it was.
Yeah.
I'll give this 77 or 78, around there. Like, I enjoyed the show a lot, man. I feel like the first four were cool. Like we talked about it before, you mm-hmm. know, I said he doesn't really like the show because, you know, they feel like they just keep losing, take L's. Boom. They literally haven't taken an L since probably episode three, man. Or so.
They had to run from those zombies, but eventually they turned it around.
Turned it around, whipped their ass.
Yep.
Overall, I would give the whole season a 7,500. It was pretty good. I'm honestly hyped for season two. We talked about this last episode. We was like, yo, whose backstory do we want to see the most? And we're going to get the chance to see Vex and Vax's backstory.
Yes.
That's just why I said it. I wanted to see the brother-sister backstory because of, I think they can be dope. And I think they have a dark backstory. And with these dragons that are now coming, and that's who they're linked to from how their lives got fucked up was by dragons.
Yeah.
That's what we're going to see season two. I am fucking hyped to see season two. I will highly recommend this show. The show was funny. It was action-packed. The animation was good. Top to bottom, a really good show. Yeah. That's how I feel.
So, are you gonna give the whole show a ranking?
Yeah, I gave it a 7,500.
Yep.
Okay.
Whole show. Brennan.
Yeah, I think this is a great conclusion to a really, really entertaining show. I think there was enough action. I think that a lot of the storylines were wrapped up. I think the character development, the world was already built in a really a good way. I thoroughly enjoyed these last four episodes, and so I'm going to go ahead and say this is about I'm going to call it a 7,900.
7,900. Okay.
7,900 for the last four. Just mostly because it's like, you know, changing those perceptions of how you feel about the characters towards the end of the season. You know, like, y'all was hating on Pike. Now you guys are, like, singing Pike's praises. You know, like, you know, just be able to flip those to be able to flip the narrative on a bunch of characters that quickly, and to have these incomprehensible conclusions that you didn't see. Like, I just love that. He's like, I don't know how this is going to happen. And then it's like, that was actually dope how that happened. That feeling happened a lot in the show. So that's one of my favorite feelings. It's like, there's no how. And you see it and you're like, okay, I never would have thought of that, but that's dope. So I really enjoyed it overall. My likes for the show are that, it just did a really good job with so many characters of actually giving each one of them a distinct personality that you know enough about that if you choose to, you could care about them. You know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't feel like anybody outside of the bear was lagging when it came to, like, their character development. The dislikes were that I think that, what were the dislikes? I think that they could have done more with the initial arc with the dragon thing.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I think that it was good, but I think more could have happened with that, and it could have been more tied to everything else that was going on, because it felt like this was almost two different shows to me. You know, like the first half of the season, the second half of the season. The only thing we did in the first half of the season was really establish who they were.
I wouldn't even call it the first half. It was just the first four.
Yeah, the first four episodes. It's just like they kind of just established who they were. But the storyline of that guy turned to a fucking dragon. You know what I'm saying? Like, shit's crazy. Like, and it was like crazy powerful. And they just they lucked their way into a W with him, you know? And it's just like, wow, okay. Like, but if his brother, you know what I'm saying? Like, maybe season two is going to have something to do with that. Like,
I think that's
saying.
What's going to
happen. I'll touch on that in my review. Yeah. But
got it. So all that to say is that's the only drawback for me, is that there was a lot of things that were hinted to that could have been expanded on more, but I think they did expand on the things that were the most important things. Like, all the, you know, like the thing that we hated about Attack on Titan is that there's a lot of things that happened that you're like, what the fuck is going on? After like season two, you're like, what the fuck is going on? All these open-ended things that didn't make sense. This one didn't have that. This show didn't have that. Like, there were certain things, small things that were left open-ended, but for the most part, they tied up everything in a fucking nice bow, as well as, you know,
12 episodes.
In 12 episodes, too. Impressive how much happened in 12 episodes.
True.
The pace of this show is incredible. You know, this is like, I'd say this, the pace of this show is on par with like a Demon Slayer, with how quickly it moved. Because I'll never forget, like, there was an entire training arc in Demon Slayer in one episode.
Yeah.
Never forget that. Yep. That was one of the most impressive things I've ever seen.
You didn't feel like it was rushed.
It didn't feel rushed at all. It felt like it was a season of training in one episode, which was amazing. So overall for the show, I'm actually give it the same rating as 7,900. I thoroughly enjoyed this show. That's why I was really excited for you guys to see it after I did. I just found it had all the things I like. It had a good action, it had good storytelling, good world building, good character development, and it was funny. It was authentically funny. I laughed out loud at this show on multiple occasions because it was just fucking silly. But it was silly when it was supposed to be. It was for real when it was too. So I think this was really well done. Like, hats off to the creators of the show, and hopefully season two could hold up the candle to season one.
Rob,
yeah. I mean, I echo a lot of what you all said. I won't go too far into it, I don't think. But I mean, for me, these stretch episodes definitely picked up. You know, I think the second stretch took a little bit of a dip for me just because of the Pike stuff, which I stand by. I think, like, ultimately where she got was great, but I didn't think they did a very good job with her whole training. I didn't think that they did a good job making that as interesting as they could have done. But that's the last four episodes, not these four episodes. These four episodes, I think, were a drastic step up. I'm comfortable giving this an 8,000.
Ooh.
You know, this show is definitely just checks a lot of my boxes, especially somebody that's played, you know, Dungeons and Dragons and, you know, listened to podcasts like Critical Role, and like, I'm a little bit familiar with this world already. So this was, you know, this was easy for me to get into. This was very easy for me to like check out and get into. And like I said earlier, when we started this is like what I wanted Demon Slayer, Goblin Slayer to be like.
Yes.
Man.
This is what I was hoping.
Can you say that again, please?
This is what I wanted Goblin Slayer to be.
Fuck, this is definitely what Goblin Slayer should have been like. Exactly like this.
But it wasn't.
No. This is goblin rape and fucking potions.
Yep. Yeah. So,
yo, Kara, goblin rape and potions.
Yeah, it's
but
true.
That to be said, of the things that I didn't like, I think there are maybe one or two too many characters. It's a hard choice because like they're all good characters, but I do feel like they struggled a little bit to make them stand out early on. I mean, it worked out in the long term. I just think it, you know, for personally, I think maybe they'd knocked it down by one or two, it probably would have helped the show a little bit. You know, if I got to find a reason why I wouldn't give it a perfect 9,000, I got to find something. So that's part of it.
It is hard. It is hard to find. I was like, what did this like? I was like,
Yeah. You know, obviously, you know where the budget of the animation went. Those fight scenes in the last four episodes were great, but that means that, like, there was a lot of lower frame rate stuff when they were doing a lot of their talky stuff. And even some of the lower scale fights, you could see that it was a little choppy.
Yep.
Yeah.
And there were some times I was telling somebody about the show, I'm just like, it's good like Invincible. It's not good as good as Invincible.
For sure.
And Invincible had some of those same problems. Obviously, it's another Amazon show.
I fucking love Invincible.
Invincible's great. No, I think the show's really great. I'm looking forward to a season two, specifically because I think they are going to touch back on that whole dragon's backstory, partly because this is something I clocked early on, just because, again, I know the lore of the world a little bit more. But when they went down to his basement, he had a carpet that had five dragon heads on it. One of them was blue. He was the blue dragon. And then in the Dungeons and Dragons world, there's chromatic dragons, which are like the red, black, white, blue, green. Those are bad. They're evil. Mm. Then there's the metallic dragons, which are like gold, copper, silver, platinum, and whatever. Those are the good dragons. Mm. So this dude, as soon as they went to his basement and he had the, like, you know, different chromatic dragons, I was like, this dude's bad news. And that also means there's probably more of them. And that's who these four dudes that are showing up at the end, I think, are his crew that are just like, what the fuck happened to our guy?
Yep.
That is a real problem.
Yeah.
And I think like, they are about
to. Because he was a problem by himself.
And they are about to fucking lay waste to the city.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, blue dragons, they have, like, lightning stuff. Fire's red. Like, I think black is acid.
Jesus.
And, like, white is, like, cold. So it's going to be a mess. They're going to have a problem.
Are the metallic dragons strong?
Yeah, they're super strong.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's like there's Tiamat, which is like a five-headed dragon goddess, and then there's Bahamut, which is like the
Bahamut? Like
Bahamut.
Isn't that from Final Fantasy?
Could be, yeah.
Yeah, that's a dragon from Final Fantasy.
Yeah, he's the god of the good dragons.
He's a giant dragon. Yeah, he's Bahamut.
Yeah, he's
hard.
Yeah, I got a character that follows him. Anyway, I could talk about this for hours. I won't. but all that to say, that makes me believe that this season two will probably have a lot, that they will be up against some very difficult antagonist. I think there's a lot to look forward to in season two, and I'm looking forward to it. I'm absolutely on board for Vox Machina season two. Let's bring it on.
Absolutely.
Wait, so what'd you give the total?
I'm gonna give the series as a whole, I'm gonna give it an 8,000 too.
Yeah,
I think because my ratings were like 8,000, 7,800, 8,000. I'll bump it a little bit and give it an 8,000 overall.
I'm glad you like this.
I very much enjoyed
it. I would
it.
Love to know what Ice's final rating is since we started off
he
in
gave
the 4,000.
Like yeah,
he gave it a 4,500. I don't think he tops up over 6.
Yeah,
personally.
I think he's going to hear our scores and be like, oh, why do you guys like this? Even though everything that he said that he didn't like about it, they kind of fixed, you know, from the beginning, anyways. But yeah, I mean.
Ice is gonna ice, man. I get it.
Yeah, he's going. I feel like every time we ask him, he goes the opposite where we go.
If we told him our scores, I feel like he'd sit there watching it with his arms crossed. Just like,
nope, no way is this good. Nope. Cause even when we hate something, he'd be like,
it's not that bad.
Yeah. He'll be like, when we're somebody like, man, this show is kind of bad. That shit was garbage. And I feel like he's going, okay, they kind of hate this show. You know?
Yeah.
I'm about to go the opposite.
But, like about
but, he can't die. He's immortal.
Yeah, see? And then he'll contradict himself and whatever. Then he'll say, put up the tape. I don't have time for that. Next week, we will be talking about, we'll be going over the Ninja Turtles movie that's on Netflix.
I'm excited.
Yeah, Rise of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the movie.
Yes.
Kara, you watch it too.
I will.
If you're going to be down, if you want to watch it, chime in with us is always fun. So make sure y'all watch that. We will be talking about that. We're not going to watch the seasons, right? Because you said it's like three seasons.
No, it's like two seasons. We're just going to go right to the movie.
Okay.
Hopefully we'll be able to figure out who the Ninja Turtles are
already. And the scenes go pretty hard.
I don't know who Michelangelo could be. I'm just trying to figure out who Michelangelo is. I just don't know. drop your handles, guys. Ice at ice.mcgowan or Ice McGowan on every single, all the platforms. Make sure he wants you guys to follow his YouTube. He's really big on that. So follow his YouTube, please. He's pushing out content on there. Brennan.
Yeah, you're a good friend. I'm on Instagram at Brennan Produces.
Brandon produces. Brandon got some good stuff coming up. Brandon got some, he got some good stuff. He's getting behind producing. That's why his name's producer, produces.
Thanks, man.
And he's got some stuff coming up, too. See, I'm a good friend. I'm not an asshole.
Well, what's funny is, actually, I was just in some content for Caffeine with CT for Villainy. And when I tell you, I've never been lit up as bad as I have got lit up on the comments of that show.
Damn.
Makes they sense. Came for me. They're like, this big-headed potato, Mr. Potato Head. They said this big-headed motherfucker headbutted COVID, and now we have monkeypox.
Oh my God!
Well, here's the thing. I mean, I feel like Caffeine too.
It's a roast kind of thing.
Yeah,
like, and it was
yeah.
funny. The thing is, like, I wasn't offended. I was like, y'all are funny.
Yeah, I mean,
like, this is good.
That's
that
creative.
That is the culture that is built kind of over there now, because you know all that digital. With, like,
yeah,
roast
it came
me.
On right after Roast Me.
Oh yeah, so
Roast
yeah.
Me came, and then this show started, and they were just like, "Who was this big headed Negro?"
They were gonna
let's go. I'm like,
they
I have a big up. Head. I do.
Yeah, they loaded up already. So yeah, I mean, yeah, Caffeine super super dope. They got a lot of good content coming out over there.
Oh, last thing, shout out to Pat Cloud, because. If you guys watch the episode, you'll see that there was one person in particular that was going super hard on me.
Oh, in that chat.
Yeah, in the chat. Yeah, in Villainy, in the chat. Somebody was going super hard. And reveal at the end, Pat Cloud was one of the people. And he lit my soul up.
He was
he
coming
was
at
in
you
it.
In the
Yeah, and he was in the show.
Yeah, he's a jerk, bro.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And at the end, he was like, ha, that was me. I'm just
Pat
like,
comes across as the nicest guy ever, because he is Pat nice. Is, Pat is a nice guy.
Not until he's not.
But Pat can also, he can roast with the fucking, to me, he's one of my favorite roasters on Roast Me. When he's on, he's one of my, I feel like he's always the most, he's one of the most consistent roasters on Roast Me. And most creative. Well, I would say him and Craig. Him and Craig are the two most creative, in my personal opinion. But yeah, man,
I think
Rob.
CP is pretty creative.
Yeah.
CP also, yes.
Shouting out an artist this week. Check out Crumbs Art. That's Crumsart. They, I believe we've featured some of their art on our Instagram before. Really talented. Looks like they reimagine a lot of popular anime comic book characters as if they were black. They got some really cool stuff.
Yeah, the Ichigo.
Yeah, that's they got the like Aizen and Scarlet Witch and Batman.
Dope.
It's like anime comic
the
stuff.
Genus.
Check them out. Yeah, Best Genus is pretty crazy. Check them out. It's Crumsart on Instagram. Crumsart.
Yes, yes, yes. And Kenan Baker on everything.
Stay tuned for Rob's haircut.
Yes. Yeah, stay tuned for Rob's haircut. Kenan Baker on every single thing. Make sure you follow me on all social media platforms. You know, just trying to get those followers up, man. I will be coming to a city near you in 2023.
Hell yeah.
Stand up comedy wise.
Show up.
It's going to be good.
Show support.
Oh, there's a funny comment up there by Rob Vonda. Bear can't hold Appa's jockstrap.
No.
That's very funny.
I know it's kind of like a month away or so, but if you guys are in San Diego, October 16th, I will be at Mike Drop Comedy Club. Mike Drop Comedy Club, October 16th. It's a Sunday. Come through, show your ass.
You got your notice.
I want to see you guys there. I will be promoting the show every episode then. So make sure you guys watch The Rise of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie on Netflix. That's what we'll be covering. And we thank you for tuning in to another episode of Animation.